This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show, along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. And in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wvuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the MyTuner radio app and type in WVUA FM 90.7 to listen to our show. Also, if you have any ideas, I'm always asking students and listeners for ideas for the show. And actually, Catherine, I got several ideas today just talking to students, and we'll discuss that later. We've got all of our shows scheduled out for the remainder of this semester, but we need new show ideas for the spring semester because we only do our shows in the fall and the spring. We don't do them in the summer. So if you have those ideas, please email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu, and we'll consider using your idea for the show topic. We usually do about 12 to 13 shows each semester, so we're always needing new ideas. And it's funny because when I started doing the show, I thought I would run out of ideas, and really we haven't. I don't feel like we have. We've done some twists on like different mental health issues or trends, such as stress management, time management, homesickness. We've got a show next week on homesickness, and I'll mention that at the end of the show. But tonight, this is an interesting topic that I was not aware of. When we were doing research, Catherine actually came upon this article that featured my guest talking about a program that is here. It's an initiative that's here on this campus at the School of Social Work here at the University of Alabama. But it's the VITAL program, and VITAL is spelled capital V, small IT, capital AL. I think that's very creative. It's the VITAL program. And also I wanted to talk tonight about the development of a mental health app for the state of Alabama called Connect Alabama. And it's so cool. I downloaded it to my phone and looked at it a little bit before the show tonight. And it's just a neat idea. I don't know why anybody hadn't thought about that sooner. And so my guest tonight is from the School of Social Work. She's actually the director of the VITAL initiative or the program, Shayna McIntosh. Shayna, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
I appreciate you taking out the time to, I sent you some questions to try to prepare for the show, but we hardly ever get to all the questions because we go off on a tangent. I go off on a tangent, actually. But before we get started, tell the listeners about yourself, your credentials, and why you're interested in this topic.
I've been working in behavioral health since 2008. I have a master's in psychology and counseling, as well as an advanced alcohol and drug counseling certification in the state of Alabama. And I've worked in both mental health and substance use throughout my career. I'm currently serving as the director of VITAL, and I oversee research, grants, and contracts. It was a passion. It has been a passion of mine to work in behavioral health ever since I was in school. It's a funny story. I was actually going for photojournalism, had to take the Psych 101 class that everyone has to take, found myself reading the textbook from front to back and said, well, I guess this is it.
Yep.
So the rest is history.
That's pretty cool. I can't believe we haven't crossed paths.
I know. It's amazing how it's such a small world on campus that's so big at times because there's so much going on, and it's really hard for all of us to kind of, know and be involved in each other's work.
Oh, yeah. I always laugh and tell the students it's like we're all on a big cruise ship sometimes. don't you think?
Absolutely.
Talk about what VITAL is. Did I introduce it correctly? Is it an initiative? Is it a program? What's the difference? Give us the description.
Yeah. So VITAL is an initiative. It is housed in the School of Social Work at the University of Alabama. We have strategic partnerships with many state agencies, but specifically the Alabama Department of Mental Health. We serve all 67 counties across our state with our diverse grants and projects. We focus on improving wellness in Alabama through research and evaluation, through training and education, service and implementation support, and also community engagement. And so, you know, we've got a lot of different projects that focuses on a lot of different topics related to behavioral health. And we're not, you know, it's a lot of different programs and projects kind of happening simultaneously around the state.
It sounds like a lot to manage. You know, it's really a large program. Yeah, it is.
But it's fun and it's interesting and it's ever changing.
When did it start? When did this initiative start?
Oh, goodness. So we got our first grant back in 2016. So we started out with one small, it was, you know, several million dollars of a grant. So we started out with this one project to do Alabama SBIRT. And then from there, we just grew leaps and bounds working to see like, okay, this is a need. So let's add this. And this is a need. So let's add that. And we've grown now to 15 different federally funded or state and federally funded projects.
How are you mentioned students, you know, and I'm assuming that the students at the University School of Social Work are heavily involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have opportunities in a lot of different projects for students to be involved. Some projects have the opportunity for students to be more involved than others. And I will say, although, yes, we have a lot of social work students that are involved, we actually have a pretty cool multidisciplinary team because, you know, it takes that. It really takes that multidisciplinary approach to ensure that the work that we're doing is, you know, really being handled appropriately. So a lot of student involvement across a lot of our projects.
I was looking at the website last week because I knew you were going to be on the show and I was just doing a little bit of research. The website is wonderful. And I guess I didn't realize because I had never heard of VITAL. I'm embarrassed to say being on campus for the last 17 or so years, you know, and I know it's new, it's about five years old, but I had never heard of VITAL. And so when I did the research, I didn't know what to expect. So there is a lot of focus on substance abuse. Is there not?
There is. I mean, we have several projects that have a focus on mental health, but the majority of our projects do focus on substance use.
Had no idea. That's wonderful. Who's eligible for these services?
So, you know, interestingly enough, VITAL is not a direct service provider, right? So we don't actually provide any services to individuals as a whole. Our services will indirectly benefit the general public, right? Including students on campus, faculty and staff, just anyone, right? But this is mainly through our work with stakeholders across the state, as well as, you know, the education and training components that are built in most of our projects. So, you know, individuals would be able to benefit from that. But we're not a direct service provider. So we don't, so I wouldn't say people are actually eligible for our services.
Do are schools involved? Is that like what would be the stakeholders you're mentioning? Can you give us an example?
So, yeah, I mean, it may be a, you know, a health system. So it may be a private practice that's out there that's providing general health services. It could be a hospital system. It could be health departments. It could be volunteer fire departments. It could be police stations. So stakeholders are generally going to be these service industry kind of partners that they, in fact, are actually the ones out there doing all of the good work, and we're able to be able to support them.
How is the initiative, promoted maybe, or even how would a stakeholder know about this initiative?
So for the most part, when one of our grants or our contracts are written, we tend to work very closely with the state, of course, to identify the best particular partners or stakeholders for that specific project. And so oftentimes they're going to be identified ahead of time to be that particular partnership. However, it may be that the partnership may be with, let's just say, the state's EMS director, right? That particular office of state EMS is going to be our partner, but yet then they are going to connect us with EMS agencies all across the state, right? That's just as an example. So a partner is either going to be one that will be strategically working with the initiative one-on-one, or will be kind of ahead of a group of individuals that would be able to help ensure that that message is out there, that they could participate in a grant, if that's kind of what the grant's set up to be able to do.
Wow. Does the grant, I don't know much about grant writing. It's just a different area for me. Is the grant, does it have to be renewed every year? Is that something that has to be renewed every year? Is that how it works?
Some grants do and some don't. So some you actually have what's called like a non-competing continuation that each particular grant. So let's just say the award is for a five-year project and they may give you the first year. They may give you the first 2 years or the first 3 years. And then after that, it's a non-compete continuation. They just want to make sure that you're doing the things that you're doing to be able to continue.
Did you say you're going to do? Yeah,
absolutely. Some, however, may be, you know, 5 years and they give you the entire 5 years at one time. So it really just depends on the funder.
Yeah, this is wonderful for our university, I think, as far as like, and for not only the School of Social Work, but for the university as a whole. How do you publicize it within the university, or do you, you know?
I mean, you know, I would say, yes, we do, but it really just depends on the project. As you said yourself, you know, you've been here at the university and this is the first time you've heard of Vital. And I would say that the majority of our projects don't actually serve the university. So as far as promotion within the university, it doesn't happen at the same level.
Yeah.
However, if there is a significant project that we feel like really does touch the university, we want to make sure that that's getting out there. The university also does a really great job for us when a new grant's been awarded to do some promotion as far as ensuring that there is a public announcement about maybe new funding that's coming in to serve, or like with the app that you guys saw, and to be able to make sure that people are aware of the app and do some promotion for us that way.
Are other than, I mean, how are students involved? Like you just told us a little bit, but other than, I guess, what is their role? Would they be traveling to these other counties across the state?
Would they be
working in, you said there, let me see if I heard this correctly, 15 federally funded programs. Is that what you said? Would they be working? How are they assigned to those programs? And if a student is listening to us right now in the school, within the School of Social Work, how do they get involved?
Yeah. So we have a lot of different opportunities. We've had internships. We've had opportunities where they can actually get in the field. So for example, maybe we have a center or, you know, some sort of practitioner that's in the field, and we actually have paid internships for them to get out there and do a part of our work with these agencies. We have them on the background. Maybe they're curating content or doing research. Maybe they're doing data analysis. So we have a lot of opportunities. For the most part, we generally, if it's within the School of Social Work, we're advertising through our the channels that, you know, like the field office and things like that we need to. We also have really good partnerships across campus. So the Department of Education, we have their students, the business school, the counseling department, the addictions and treatment department. So we have a lot of relationships with different providers too, and different faculty members too.
Do students just apply?
They do. Yep. They'll apply and they send, you know, we get the resumes from the specific departments and have an opportunity to go through and do applications and just kind of let them know what we have and see if it's a good fit.
Are these undergrads or graduate students?
A lot vary. So we've got undergrad, we have master's and PhD. So we really have positions for any particular student.
I bet those positions are competitive.
They can be. Absolutely.
I bet there are a lot of students, when they find out, when they hear this, you might have a rush. More applications.
Hey, come on. I mean, we love it. We love to support our students here on campus.
Hey, we're going to take our first quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about the app, because that was really what caught my eye in the article that I mentioned. And I'll mention that article again. If you're listening to us and have some ideas for show topics, please email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. We're talking tonight with Shayna McIntosh. She is the director of VITAL, which is an initiative from the School of Social Work here on campus. And it's just, there's a lot more levels to it than I imagined. And I mentioned before the break that I found out, actually Catherine, who is the producer of the show here, found the article from, it looks like it was from UA News. Our UA, the news center that we all get, you know, it was back in July, and it was discussed, the article was discussing this initiative, but not only this initiative, it's a new app, and I guess it's new, it's called Connect Alabama, and I downloaded it on my phone. It's very easy. I mean, it's a lot of information, and it's wonderful, and I just don't know why anybody hadn't thought of it before, but it's fascinating. So Shayna, tell us a little bit about the app. How old is it? How difficult was this to design and develop? Because it is extensive. It gives you all kinds of information about substance abuse and mental health issues and whatnot. So,
yeah. So the app did launch in kind of late July. Really excited. We've been working on it now for quite some time. Like you said, lots of information. So it took quite a bit of time to be able to pull it together. And, you know, the Connect Alabama app, it is a collaborative effort between the Alabama Department of Mental Health and VITAL. VITAL had developed a prototype for a treatment finder app a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. And we were real excited about it because we saw a need, because we really knew that people needed to be able to have access to this information at their fingertips. And there wasn't anything out there. So we created this prototype, and ADMH loved it. But they wanted to really take it to the next level, and they wanted to add all of this great, rich information about substance use, mental health, and prevention. And so the Connect Alabama app was developed as you kind of see it today. The app provides content and information on a plethora of topics
related to
three main categories, right? I mean, it's so much information, right?
I'm looking at it right now. It's three main topics, substance use, mental health, and prevention. And yeah. I kind of had to, you know, make up my alter ego to get into it, because it asked what I was interested in and the location, and it asked my age. And so when I put that in and submitted it, it gives you the treatment locator part of the app, literally gave me two places right here in town immediately. And that was cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's great that you mentioned that, because in addition to all of the, you know, just information, it houses a resource and service locator and a helpline section to be able to provide direct access to service, resources, and helplines. We really wanted to create a one-stop shop, like this place for you to go for all things related to behavioral health and help in these particular categories. And, you know, to have that help in your hands at all times is a game changer for our state. You mentioned that treatment and services locator. So you have two options on how you can search in there. You can actually search by your own location, But if you are in Tuscaloosa and you're like, absolutely, I do not want to go to treatment here. I want to go to treatment in Mobile or Auburn or wherever, you can actually search by location as well and get those particular locations that you might want to be, you know, interested in getting your treatment from.
I'm looking at right now while I'm thinking about this, give out the Vital website that I mentioned earlier, because it's good. If people are listening and they're interested and they just want to read a little bit about what we're talking about and what the initiative is about.
Yeah. So our website is vitalalabama.com, and that's VITALALABAMA.com. And once you go there, you're going to be met with a ton of information around substance use, behavioral health as a whole. But like immediately on our front page, you're going to be able to get connected with the information for the app, like pretty immediately
And the app is designed for consumers, right? Let's clear that up.
Actually, the app is designed for anyone that wants to use it. So there's a lot of consumer-driven information. However, if you are a professional and you want to be able to have, you know, the app in your hands to be able to look up, like maybe someone's asking you about a treatment facility
a referral.
And you're just not really sure. Yeah,
it's absolutely. A good referral resource. Yeah.
It is. So it was created for professionals with that in mind, to be able to have that information easily accessible. It's created for someone who may be searching for services themselves, but it may also be a family, friend, loved one, anyone like that that's really just wanting some more information about maybe someone they're concerned about.
That's cool. How about, I think I read on the website about training for first responders. Did I see that correctly? Did you guys provide training for first responders? And if so, what is it? What is it?
So we do provide training for first responders under a couple of our different projects. So we have a project that's called Freedom North, and there's also a Freedom South, because it was so productive and beneficial in the northern part of the state, where we have some higher opioid rates, that the state was like, we need to submit another one and we need to get some funding for the South.
Yes.
So we have Freedom North and Freedom South. And that particular kind of project line, it provides opioid overdose and safety training to first responders across a total of 32 counties. And that will also include the distribution of free naloxone to use in the event that they may be called to respond to an overdose in the community.
Yeah.
So they get the training, they get to know like how to be able to appropriately identify and respond and what to do, how to maintain, you know, their own safety during a particular situation. And they get the naloxone to be able to use in the community. And we will continue to replenish that as needed if they use the ones that we give them after the trainings. We also do, in that particular group, provide training on secondary trauma and occupational burnout for first responders, as well as mental health first aid. So not just the opioid overdose piece, but mental health first aid, just to be able to fully understand how to respond in a crisis.
Do you do this with behavioral health professionals also?
We will. Absolutely. So that particular project has three components. So it has a general public component for training and education. It has a health professional training and education component. And then it's also got the distribution of the naloxone and the training for first responders.
That's amazing, because, well, what got my attention more than that, and that will get your attention when you mention, you know, first responders having issues with responding to opioid addiction or overdose, is the vicarious traumatization. You know, that a lot of, sometimes us behavioral health professionals have issues with that. And so that caught my attention, because I feel like there needs to be more training provided to counselors, psychologists, social workers, psychiatrists, those people who really can take it home with them sometimes.
Absolutely. You know, I was just talking to a coworker the other day, and we were talking about how all therapists need a therapist, right? Because of the amount of trauma that we take on and how we might, you know, project or deflect or any of those
compartmentalized.
Absolutely. So it's the same for first responders, and the trauma that they may experience is, you know, can even be, you know, different, of course, due to those physical traumas that we personally may not, you know, experience sure. as behavioral health professionals. Yeah.
Sure. Back to the Connect Alabama app that's been developed. How long did it take to develop that?
So the current version of what you see now, it took about a year and a half to a year and a few months. Now, again, we had already created wow. a prototype for the treatment finder piece, mm-hmm. But I would say it took about a year to get the how you see it currently, a little over a year to get that down.
Yeah, I could see that because it's just so much information. And yeah. Did students help develop that app?
They did. Yeah, we had.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, no, we did. We had a great deal of student support. They helped, you know, curate some content for us in a lot of the different areas. We actually had a student that was kind of helping with some of the coordination in the beginning when we were pulling the pieces together from the different spaces and stuff like that. So we did. We had a good bit of student involvement on the front end for sure.
That's neat. And probably from, like you mentioned before, from, I'm assuming from, the students who would develop wouldn't necessarily be social work students. I would think they'd be more technologically advanced students to be able to do that, you know?
Well, we did. We had some tech students. We also had, you know, some content, what we would call subject matter experts as yeah. well, that were students that did come from the field of, you know, behavioral health, social work, psychology, addiction studies, marriage and family therapy. I mean, we really had a wide variety of disciplines come together because it's not, none of this happens in a silo.
No, all the fun stuff, I call it. Hey, listen, let's take another break. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about any supportive research, you know, for the app and for the initiative, too, that you can, like, give us a little bit, just skim over so that people understand what we're talking about a little more thoroughly and where the, you know, support comes from. Okay, so you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight with Shayna McIntosh. Shayna is the director of a program here on campus, and it's called VITAL, and it's through the School of Social Work. And we're just talking about the development of that, not only that initiative, but the development of a cool app that is free that you can download on your Android or your Apple phone or iPad, whatever device you have. And it's really extensive. I think it's extensive. I was really surprised at how much information, because, you know, sometimes you'll download apps and they're not, once you download them, they're really not as good as they publicize them to be. This is a good one. And for anyone who's listening who, you know, maybe even a student, maybe Shayna mentioned a behavioral health professional, a first responder. There are many stakeholders that would be interested in this app, which is called Connect Alabama. I'm going to mention it as many times as I can. What are some of the, I know it, we, before we went to the break, we talked about students helping to develop the app, but how much research went into this? And, you know, is there still research ongoing? I'm sure there is, to change the app and add to it and update it, because there's trends happening all the time in the in mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. So You know, a lot of the research that kind of went in to the beginning stages of the app and kind of what you see now is just the content that we knew and that the state wanted as kind of the leading content for the particular app. So content that they knew has, you know, consistently being sought out in their arenas for Alabama Department of Mental Health service providers and the work that they do. So a lot of it kind of went into that, in addition to the fact that we have been doing several different grants and projects for these boots on the ground initiatives. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of feedback that was consistently coming to us, you know, hey, like one of the reasons why we don't screen for services is because we have no idea where to send them. Hey, like, you know, once we identify, we don't really have a ton of information to be able to give the people that we may know need services. Like they just don't have anywhere to really go to get information mm-hmm. that like makes sense to them. Like all these things that we were hearing. And so, you know, that's kind of what helped in the beginning of it. Moving forward, you know, I can say Vital as a whole and ADMH as well, we're consistently monitoring projects against targets. These targets may be programmatic or state induced, right? We really work hand in hand with the state to ensure that any program or information or anything that we're doing is meeting the state plan and the state goals of what they're hoping to do as it relates to behavioral health. So, you know, each one of our programs, including the app, will have internal research structures to allow us to see trends, challenges, and opportunities, which really may allow us to see we need to alter the approach or we need to look at something completely different as it relates to some of the information, right? So with that being said, though, oftentimes we pivot based on a state need or a new threat to Alabama wellness. And as we know, behavioral health is ever changing, and we have to be very vigilant to adapt to the needs of Alabamians and what we're kind of seeing going on in our state. And that's exactly what the app is going to do as well. You know, we are going to collect very little information on the back end. The whole point of this app was not to collect a whole bunch of personal information from anyone. That's not going to happen. So individuals that are using the app for their own purposes can feel safe in the fact that we're not collecting a ton of information. But what we do hope to be able to achieve is if someone is searching for a particular type of service in an area where it's not available, we can take that information back to the state and say, look, there's been this many number of searches for this type of treatment in this area, and there aren't.
Wow.
So those types of things are what we're going to do to be able to, you know, improve the app, but improve the accessibility of services in our state. So I think that that's really important to kind of know a little bit about how we're, you know, kind of use the app to continue to help it grow.
Have you seen, I don't know how to ask this. Let me think about this. Have you, on that note, have you seen programs develop because of the app?
So we haven't, and that's because the app hasn't been around long enough. Yeah, it's new. So we don't have enough data yet to be able to show that that is, you know, kind of one of the things that you know, has happened. However, we do see that it is a very good possibility that is what's going to happen in the future.
Because that's one of the sounds like it.
Yeah.
One of the three areas that I mentioned that's on the app when you open up the app is the substance abuse, mental health, I believe, and prevention. Mm-hmm. So prevention is a big one, right?
Yep.
Are there prevention and you kind of answered this already that, you know, it's not really geared. Nobody's eligible because it's not really services, you know, like I would
provide
as a counselor. Yep. But are there prevention programs offered? What are the suggestions, I guess, in the prevention, or is it just education more than anything?
So currently the prevention information in the app is more focused on definitely substance use and more focused on the information that might be available for one of the prevention providers or an individual that's hoping to be able to connect with one of the prevention agencies within their district or service area.
Okay, yeah.
So the majority of the information is there. Of course, there's definitely some built-in myths and facts and like static information around like, you know, some specific statistics or things like that, just interesting things for people to know that's also very helpful and beneficial as it relates to prevention as a whole. You know, we are not a direct prevention provider to any university or any group out there. But, you know, we as Vital do host lots of different trainings, specifically opioid overdose and the use of naloxone to prevent those overdose deaths, right? So that's a specific one. And we actually provided one very recently. We helped and hosted actually the opioid overdose awareness walk that occurred on campus. So that was Project Freedom, yes. Like I mentioned earlier. And then there are some specific programs out there that do provide prevention-specific programs to universities, but those are generally going to be those state-funded programs.
When you mention prevention, I guess, is it more, do you talk, the prevention aspect on the app, is it more geared when you talk about myths and facts, is it more about Alabama, like the statistics within Alabama, or is it more about the United States, or maybe both even?
It is both, actually. So you're going to be able to find some specific information about our state, but you're also going to be able to see where we kind of stack up nationally.
Yes,
so you're going to get a little bit of both, you know, and we also know that just like our students here at the university, which many students across our state are transplant students, right? So they've come from out of state, and so they have interests outside of just the state of Alabama. So we do have both.
That's interesting. How about, you mentioned the programs, 15 federally funded programs. Talk a little bit about those and the projects associated with Vital that you mentioned.
Oh gosh, we have so many. So we have, I'll just go through some of the really, really big ones. So we've got Alabama ESPR. That's where we worked with healthcare systems to initiate a screening process.
Okay.
That particular screening process would allow these systems who were not at one time really addressing substance use or mental health within their patient care, allow them to have a better understanding of risk and severity for substance use as well as mental health. So both of those, that project is actually ending currently in its proper state, but it's actually being continued because it was very successful and the state has, you know, a lot of support for it. So it's going to be continuing with other efforts.
Yeah.
We also have the Freedom Projects, which I talked a good bit about, North and South, that really address the opioid overdose. We have Project Support, which is a mental health-based project for first responders where all across the state, so all 67 counties are included in this, and any first responder or anyone of a first responder type, so probation and parole, court officers, your normal EMS, fire, public safety, those sort of things, we're providing mental health first aid training to those particular professions, again, all across the state for that. We have the Stop Judging, Start Healing. So Stop Judging, Start Healing is something that the state started with some OD2A funds several years back through a campaign that allowed for a website and for a social media. And so they've actually asked for Vital to take that on. And so we have the Stop Judging, Start Healing campaign. A really exciting thing that's come out of that in collaboration with another project of ours, which is the Alabama Provider Capacity Project, are the Stigma Summits. And I don't know if you heard about those this past year. So we started these Stigma Summits that were last year or this current calendar year, we had seven of them all around the state addressing stigma for mental, for medical professions was our main target audience, but we had others as well. And, you know, we had someone with lived experience come in and speak. We had a panel of subject matter experts as well as lived experience that that approached the topic of stigma. And then we had some breakout sessions that, you know, addressed some different things. Really excited. That was a huge success. We're doing it again this upcoming year. It's actually going to be in January. So go to our website and find some information about that. Last year, we did not host one in Tuscaloosa. This year, we will be. So look for that. Registration as it's $25, I believe, to be able to register for that event. It's very, very, very economical, great roundup. This year, not only are we focusing on medical professions, but we're also going to focus on the criminal justice perspective of stigma.
Interesting.
So, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of stigma that needs to be addressed in our criminal justice system. And so that was one of the things the state asked for. So we're doing that. We've got some infant mortality, couple of projects related to infant mortality, maternal health and infant health. We've got a workplace project that we're working on, the Alabama Workforce Stabilization Program. Just there's so many, and our website's a really great place to get some information on our project.
Yeah, the workplace, I saw that on the website. That was very interesting to me, and it kind of surprised me a little bit. I don't know why. I just didn't expect to see, I don't know why. I just didn't expect to see that on the website. So that you've got, it just sounds like you've got every aspect covered, you know, and it must take a lot of people to work on all this, you know, to make this successful, because it sounds like it has been.
Oh, absolutely. We do. We have a ton of amazing staff, like I mentioned before, an interdisciplinary team. So the approach is pretty widespread. And each one of these projects has their own either person or persons that really do all the boots on the ground magic. They get all the credit for all the amazing successes that we have coming out of these projects, for sure.
Well, and we're coming up on our last break. So before we go to that break, think about this, Shana. How do users keep from getting overwhelmed? It's a lot of information, or narrow down a search. Is there a way to do that? So just hold that thought. Let's take our last break, and then when we come back, we'll finish up. I've got several more questions, and maybe Catherine has a few too. But you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about a couple of things, about the VITAL program. It's an initiative that's here on campus, but it spreads throughout the whole state, all 67 counties. And it's a little bit overwhelming after I hear all of what has gone on in the last, you know, five years, it sounds like, since it's creation. And Shana McIntosh is the director of VITAL, and it just sounds to me like you've got your hands in everything with this project and with this initiative. It's really an initiative, and there's a difference. I don't know is there a difference in an initiative and a program? Because it sounds like an initiative is something that's being pushed all the time. I don't know how to define it. You told us at the beginning a little bit, but
yeah, I mean, for us, it's more of an initiative because we have separate programs and projects that fall underneath, which is kind of all pointing up to kind of the mission improving wellness.
Of the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and before we took the break, I wanted to ask you, how can people who are looking at the app Connect Alabama, how can they narrow down their search? We talked a little bit about the locators, you know, for treatment, but there's just a lot, there's so much information. How would somebody narrow it down, the search?
Yeah. So, you know, there was so much information that we needed to share in the app, and we didn't want to water it down by any means. So we attempted to make the information as digestible as possible. So although no condition occurs within that silo, right, we break the information up into those three sections that we've been talking about: substance use, mental health, and prevention. Then from there, we break it down further into topics that most individuals would be seeking information about each one of those topics. And so when you get into the app, it's like, you know, it may be like what to expect after treatment, how to be able to find treatment, you know, opioid overdose or opioids. I mean, there's like some specific things that might be in there when it relates to substance use. We tried to mimic and find those very similar topics that we use in mental health as well. So what to expect, how to be able to find treatment, how to engage in your treatment providers and things like that. So you'll see some similarities between substance use and mental health. And then in prevention, it's a little bit different because the perspective of prevention for our state and kind of the information that's currently in there was a little bit different. But, you know, there's times when there may be a reference in a different section that will give you the opportunity to move directly to another page if you want to, because, again, we know that you might be thinking that you're looking for this thing and then something else catches your eye and you know that you need to go there, right? But we built out content to help someone determine what they may need to help, whether it's a friend, a family member, significant other, maybe more about what's going on, or steer them in the best direction to meet their own personal needs. We tried to build out content with those two main objectives. How do you help someone else, or how do you help yourself?
Yeah.
I will say though, in an upcoming phase, we're going to build out some really cool, unique things that's coming. So we're really excited about what's to come for the app because it's not done. So download it now and just get real excited knowing that there's a lot more to come in the app. But because there was so much information, again, we use those three kind of headlight, kind of lighthouse categories, yep. And then like break that. It down as easy as we can.
I like that. And in the prevention section of the app, is there any information about suicide prevention?
So, you know, it's interesting enough that suicide prevention, although it's featured in the app, it is not actually featured in the prevention section. It's actually featured in the mental health section because again, thinking about where do you go for that, right? And sometimes it might just be a little easier if you're, you know, mental health is kind of what you're looking at, and then you kind of have the suicide prevention staring you in the face. So suicide prevention information in the mental health section. And in that, it addresses your risk factors, your warning signs, facts about suicide, with even direct call features to actually access helplines directly from the pages themselves. Even if you're not in the helpline section, you can have direct call features right out of the app that way too.
Cool. Yeah, I think that I figured it was on there somewhere because it almost has to be when we're talking about mental health, you know, issues. What about, you know, we were talking about users maybe getting overwhelmed a little bit, narrowing down the search. What if a user knows they need help, but they don't know what kind they may need?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we really tried to do in the information that we provided was to say, look, you know, there are professionals out there, right? So how to be able to gain access to someone that might be able to help you navigate that. So we really tried to do a good job of framing, like, these are all the different types of help that you may need. These are the different types of services that are out there. But to navigate it, you really may need a professional to help you.
Mm-hmm.
In an upcoming phase, like I mentioned, there's some exciting stuff coming. We're actually going to build out some screening tools, though, to be able to help provide more detailed guidance around risk and severity.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So then after the individual takes the screening, which will not be saved in the app, we're not going to get individual specific information. So after they do that, they'll actually have the opportunity to directly connect to services through the app. So very exciting. They'll be able to set up a telehealth assessment with a group here in Alabama that does these recovery resource center. They actually do these telehealth assessments.
Yeah.
And so they'll be able to connect directly to them to get that appointment made for the telehealth. But I think the most important thing to understand is that this app is in no way a replacement for a professional or someone who is trained to help assess a person's behavioral health needs. Throughout the app, it is very clear that we encourage someone to reach out to a professional, including peers, to be able to help navigate those treatment and those services.
You know, you may have already answered this. We've talked a little bit about downloading the app and whatnot. What if somebody, I mean, how is there a way you can ensure, and there may not be, that somebody has access to the app?
We tried to make it as accessible as possible. So first off, the app is free, right?
It's right. Accessible. I love
everyone.
That.
Everyone, yes, it's free, and there is never any intent for there to be a charge. You know, sometimes they come out and they're free.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You like it, and then you have to buy it. Or
it's like Connect Alabama Lite.
Right, absolutely. Or maybe you get into it and all of a sudden, well, you can do all this for free, but all this over here, you have to pay to be able to use or anything. No, absolutely not. And then second, once downloaded, much of the functionality of the app actually works with or without data, internet service, anything like that, right?
Oh, so really?
Yes.
That is neat. Yeah.
Well, we knew that this would be a must, given the majority of our state is rural and doesn't have access to, or great access anyway, to internet service. We knew that that was going to be, you know, a huge benefit. And so we did make it where the services locator, that entire locator works with or without services. The helplines, you can still do the call feature. You can still do the text feature if the helpline has it. Now, anything that links out to an external website, you're not going to be able to link out to an external website because then that website requires a browser, which is going to require it. But there's enough information in the app that it really can function on its own.
That's important.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really important. So that's kind of the accessibility that we were able to immediately control with the app to make it where hopefully people will have access to it and be able to use it no matter what. Then the second piece comes to circulating it, right? Like, how do people then get to know about the app? And so it has recently launched, right? It's just, it's pretty new, just here a couple of months. But, you know, we have been able to widely circulate it to professional groups who have the opportunity to share the app, maybe with individuals they're serving, patients, clients, things like that.
Professional organizations too. Like for me, it's Alabama Counseling Association for Social Work. What is y'all state association? You know, like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we will actually be circulating and starting a new marketing campaign for a broader reach pretty soon to the general public. And then, you know, again, the app was created to serve everyone. So professionals who need the information, you know, for a client or patient, concerned persons who look into something like that. So we do have a really wide reach on the people that we're trying to get to know this particular app. And so we're going to create a marketing toolkit, which can be circulated within an organization to help them learn how to best promote the app within their agency and how to get users and stuff on it. So that's going to be coming up maybe sometime at the end of this month, beginning of next month to hopefully help.
You've got it all covered, it sounds like. I mean,
we're trying.
This is unbelievable. Last question before we close. Give the list. I always like to give the listeners some sort of resources. Tell them about the website again. And you may have some more that I'm not aware of.
Okay. So I do think that, you know, one of the main things I think leaving here today is the fact that there is a wealth of information on the Vital website. So I would say definitely check it out for a deeper dive into many of the topics that we've discussed today. I think you will be very pleasantly surprised when you see the broad reach that we have on the website. I would also encourage everyone to follow us on all of our social media channels. And so you can do that at vitalalabama.com. We're consistently providing relevant information based on today's needs in our state. We share a plethora of resources throughout those channels, as well as some inspirational and encouraging messages for people to be able to kind of have and share. Maybe that's the time they really need to be able to see that. And then it's also going to be the number one place to find out about upcoming trainings and education opportunities provided by Vital. And because we are grant funded, I will say the majority of all of our trainings are free. So that's something to really keep an eye out. And we offer webinars, we offer face-to-face, we do a little bit of everything.
Well, thank you, Shayna. This has been a lot of information in a very short amount of time. I always tell every guest it goes by very quickly. Usually you don't even realize how fast. So I appreciate you. And you're also, this is your day off, so I appreciate you being on the show at this late hour. You know, it's getting darker a little bit earlier. So to me, it feels like it's about midnight right now because it's getting darker earlier. So I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the invite. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. Don't forget our shows are recorded and podcasted on Apple Podcasts, also on audioboom.com and voices.ua.edu. Just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on the Counseling Center's website, and that's counseling.ua.edu. I like to thank all the people who've made the show possible. Dr. Greg Vanderwall, he's our director, executive director here at the Counseling Center. Terry Seegers from the Office of Student Media, my production assistant and colleague, Catherine Howell. My other colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff who edit our show and post it, and my guest tonight, Shayna McIntosh. Don't forget, I mentioned earlier that our show next week is actually going to be on delayed homesickness because, you know, I've noticed that I've had more students in the last few years talk about becoming homesick, like in their junior and senior years, and I've never heard of that. So I wanted to have someone on to talk a little bit more about that. So join us next week, same time, same place. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.